How many connections to the online world do you have? A phone, tablet, computer, smart TV, virtual assistant, and on. A lot of fun, a lot of help, but potentially a lot of danger. Hackers pose a risk to individuals, businesses, and governments. And while we all know this, some of us still use the word password as our password. What are the risks? From whom? And most importantly, how do we protect ourselves? Cybersecurity expert Mike Moran is our guest today on Town Hall Ohio.
This is Town Hall Ohio, home to interesting people, engaging issues, and enlightening stories. Town Hall Ohio is a production of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, working together for Ohio farmers to advance agriculture and strengthen our communities, and is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Now, here's Town Hall Ohio host, Joe Corneli.
I don't think I'm exaggerating much when I say there's no such thing as privacy in the online world. Every click and keystroke reveals something about ourselves to somebody. When that somebody has bad intent, things can go wrong in an instant. At home, at work, and in the halls of government, protecting data and information is increasingly important and increasingly difficult. Mike Moran understands those risks, and he believes that the more you know about them, the better you can protect yourself. Mike is president of Affiliated Resource Group, where he provides business and technology consulting services to businesses and organizations. Plus, he speaks on these topics to various professional associations. Gordon Goff at the Ohio Council of Retail Merchants liked him so much that he recommended him for Town Hall Ohio. Mike, so here you are. Welcome to the show.
Well, I thank Gordon for the reference. This is great to be here. Thank you, Joe.
Let's just start with a very broad question, and we're going to get into defining more of the specific risks. But when we talk about cybersecurity and being vulnerable while we're online, how vulnerable are we?
A consultant's answer would say it depends on what you're doing. It depends on what you're using. It depends on what your intent is. The reality is that in today's environment, there are more and more opportunities for us to be taken advantage of. And it can be as simple as you're reading your email, and all of a sudden a email comes up and it appears that Facebook is asking you for your credentials because there was a problem with your account. The fastest way that the bad folks find or get our credentials is they ask them for us for them, and we give them to them because we're not paying attention.
Can you give me some statistical kinds of indicators in terms of how much this is happening?
Well, for example, there was an organization called Equifax, which was a financial reporting scenario. They actually had a hack into their system. I'll just say bad guys, and I'll leave that gender non-specific, if you will. But some bad guys hacked into their system because they didn't apply some patches. So from an operations perspective, they weren't as efficient as they should have been. 145 million people were affected, 8 million businesses. Wendy's recently had a situation where someone hacked into their credit card processing system and were taking the credentials of people that were using their credit and debit cards to buy food at Wendy's. They recently settled a situation. They settled that for over $50 million. So in terms of opportunities, it's there. You can go to websites and see every day where things go. They say on average, Facebook users are hacked about 600,000 a day. In fact, I read in the paper today that Facebook is planning to be fined and pay a fine of $5 billion because of practices that a variety of such that were not as protective and as forthright as they should have been. So the reality is that it's real. It happens every single day. And I can guarantee you that there are people that you know or businesses that you know that have had a challenge.
So a question I hadn't planned to ask, but you mentioned several businesses mm-hmm. there that basically their customers, their users were put at risk for whatever reason, whether it was a mistake or just a bad management or whatever. Why is it, though, so often we hear that this happened, but we don't hear about it for a year and a half, 2 years. I mean, I know if I'm the company, certainly I don't want to, hold up the error that was made. But as a customer, it makes me really angry to find out that they knew this 2 years ago and they're just getting around to telling me.
Well, sometimes when they're getting around to telling you, unfortunately, that is part of it. The state of Ohio has a data protection law. So if certain pieces of information are compromised, for example, obviously your name, your Social Security number, your driver's license number, or credit card information, including that 3 or 4 digit security, are compromised or are taken, then as a organization, we are required to notify those people that were affected by it within 45 days, as soon as we find out about that situation. Some of the bigger ones have to go to the press and have to be reported publicly into the government, but many of the others don't necessarily, and I think a lot of companies don't even realize they have to do it. So they don't necessarily even do it, and if they fix, they have a problem, and then they fix it, and, you know, from their perspective, no harm, no foul.
Well, I might disagree.
I'm not disagreeing with you there. It's just the reality of, you know.
Mike Moran is president of Affiliated Resource Group, where, among other things, he consults on cybersecurity. Let's talk about some of the motivations and the types of people that are intent on doing us harm. Somebody wants to steal my money. Somebody wants to influence who I vote for. Can you give us some broad groups of who the bad guys are out there and why they're at it?
Sure. There, it has been proven that there are a number of foreign governments that have different groups that they employ that are specifically in the business of cybercrime. For example, they say that the North Korean government has taken via cybercrime over $600 million in the last 10 years via their activities. People say that China do it. There was a scenario back in July that they made an attempt to penetrate and hack into the state of Alaska and a number of businesses in the state of Alaska with the intent of determining how much information they could find and potential damage they could do. Organized crime is involved in this. Why? Well, years ago, if you wanted to get money, you had to get a gun or a knife, go down to the bank, and get dirty. You know, you had to come out the door, and the police may have been there. Today, you can sit in an apartment or an office building or somebody's basement, and you can send out bad code or plant malware, and all of a sudden, you now have money that can come to you via a cryptocurrency scenario because people want to get access to their systems. There's other just people that are just doing it because they can. So it's a variety of people, a variety of opportunities, but make no mistake about it, it is big business today.
Let's talk about some of those specifics. Kinds of attacks that can be launched. We hear a lot about hacking. Mm-hmm. We hear about breaches. Help us understand what that means.
So in a hacking scenario, a person or a ne'er-do-well, if you will, gains access to your system. So they would get either your credentials or they would go into, say, a firewall that was not properly protected, or they would exploit something like that happened in the Equifax scenario. Someone didn't do patching. So that's an example of what a hacker is. The other sort of activities come via phishing activities where someone would send you an email asking you to do something, asking you to respond. Years ago, we used to call some of those spam because everybody got an email from some point in time from somebody in a foreign land who was the son or the daughter of the assistant secretary to a certain minister who got their hands on $25 million and was happy to share it with you here in the United States if you would reply and pay for quote-unquote postage to open up an account. Yeah, okay. So that's an example of one as well. I spoke earlier about Facebook. Many of them even go much more detailed. Like, for example, today there's spear phishing, and people even do it over the phone. So they call that vishing. So there are a variety of ways that people can gain access. They put malware out on a website, and you run your cursor across that ad that's on a legitimate website. They've now downloaded that software onto your system, and if you don't have the proper antivirus to catch that and prevent it, it can come and infect your system, and again, do things that are not good to your system.
Now, did you just tell me running your cursor over an ad, not necessarily clicking it, makes you susceptible?
It could in certain cases,
oh,
yes.
Geez.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the New York Times and the NFL.com a few years ago had problems. Legitimate. People had legitimate advertisements. You run it across, and boom, all of a sudden you ended up getting some malware.
One of the types of malware, they call it ransom, ransomware. Tell me what that does and why we should hate it.
Sure. Well, ransomware is obviously it's a program that infects your system, and it basically takes over and locks out your access to your files and your information. And the onus of it is that they expect you to send money so that they will free up your system. Now, studies have shown that in about 25% of the time, the people that actually spend the money get the right key to open up their files. Because if you think about it, if somebody's already stolen your stuff and they're telling you, and you don't know who they are and you don't know where they are, and they're telling you, give me $500 or $5,000 and I'll give you your stuff back, leave it in a bag underneath a street lamp, virtually, if you will, what are the odds of you getting your stuff back? Not real high. And that's ultimately what happens.
We are learning a lot of good, useful information, and we appreciate, Mike, you've given us your time to be here. If folks want to get in touch with you and maybe explore even hiring you for some of your services and such, how do they do that?
Sure. We work, as I said, we work with a lot of businesses and organizations, and probably the easiest way to get a hold of us is to go to our website, and that's www.aresg.com.
Mike Moran, security specialist, cybersecurity specialist. You talked a little bit ago about Equifax and Wendy's, and let's just hit a couple of more horror stories. One of the things that's starting to get picked up on a lot are our smart personal assistant devices, Alexa and such, and Siri. What's going on there? What about those is posing a risk?
Well, here's I think the scenario that it's not necessarily ne'er-do-well, but it comes to that idea of data privacy and what's going on. In the news, it's been recently reported that the Alexa product, that the folks there from Amazon are actually kind of paying attention to what's going on with Alexa. It's not just, hey, can you turn on the radio or can you turn off the lights? It's understanding other things that you're doing, and they did it under the onus, if you will, of, well, we're trying to learn more about how you speak and how you act and things that you do. The reality is that, you know, Facebook and Google and all of these guys have been capturing and gathering this information and building out intelligence. And it's just one more example of, hey, we invited these tools into our house. They're potentially doing more things than what we expect them to do. And we need to be aware of that.
Goes maybe not under the category of illegal, but certainly creepy.
Yeah, it makes you scratch your head.
Mike Moran is our guest. He is president of Affiliated Resource Group, and among the services they provide is consulting with businesses and others on how to keep the hackers out of your business. We're going to continue our conversation with Mike in a few moments. We've been talking about some of the problems. We'll talk about some of the protective measures when we come back with Mike on Town Hall, Ohio.
Hi, this is John Merrihew, Director of Member Services for the Ohio Farm Bureau. Case IH is a proud supporter of the Ohio Farm Bureau. Working to build strong, prosperous agricultural communities, the Ohio Farm Bureau protects the future of your farm and your neighbor's farms all year long. And thanks to this strong partnership, Ohio Farm Bureau members receive a discount up to $500 on qualifying Case IH equipment. Choose from Case IH Farm All Series tractors, including Compact, Utility, and 100A Series, and Maxim Series tractors as well. Plus, save on hay and forage equipment like self-propelled windrowers, mower conditioners, and large square round balers. This discount may be used with other promotions, rebates, or offers. And it's available for every qualifying Case IH tractor and piece of equipment you purchase. Join Ohio Farm Bureau today to pocket up to $500 in savings. Get your discount by visiting ofbf.org.
Look at this house, Brad. just the place for some songwriting inspiration. It could be a song about home insurance or auto insurance or a car home bundle with Nationwide. Two songs in one. What would you call that, a crossover?
I think it's more of a mashup, Peyton.
Yeah, a mashup. Genius. Let's make a mashup.
Nationwide is proud to be the exclusive insurance provider for Ohio Farm Bureau. To find a local farm agent, visit farmagentfinder.com.
Savings compared to standalone price of each policy. Product availability varies by state agent and other factors. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company, Columbus, Ohio.
$500 in bonus cash on eligible Ford vehicles. $750 in bonus cash on eligible Lincoln vehicles. All it takes is to be or become a member of the Ohio Farm Bureau. Bonus cash applies to purchases and leases. For all the program requirements and details, visit ofbf.org. Big bonus cash on new Fords and Lincolns exclusively for Ohio Farm Bureau members. Visit ofbf.org.
With over 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is valued at $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standardbred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing in the Buckeye State, all supported by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Since 1953, the mission of the OHHA is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standardbred industry in Ohio and beyond. And the relationship between OHHA members and Ohio agriculture is undeniable. Farmers provide feed, bedding, and stables for the horses, and in turn, those amazingly fast four-legged athletes provide a major draw to Ohio's county fairs, bringing revenue to our rural communities. OHHA membership has its privileges. Members reap the benefits of having a strong voice for shaping statewide policies, receive continuous industry education, and valuable information in OHHA newsletters and magazines. Check out OHHA.com to find out how the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is making great strides for you. That's OHHA.com.
Hopefully you'll be at least a bit more cyber secure after listening to this week's show. Mike Moran is our guest on Town Hall, Ohio, president of Affiliated Resource Group and a consultant to businesses and others on protecting yourself in a digital world. You, I looked on your website, Mike, and you had a little piece on there. You had a, you know, one of those things, eight ways you can do something. Well, this is eight ways individuals do something bad. They enable hackers. Let's run down through that list of best things to avoid doing.
Sure. Well, every day when you go through your email, you click on different emails, and many people go through and read every single email, regardless of whether it's somebody they know or something they should deal with or not. So the key is one of those things is think about how you go through and use your email. In Outlook and even Google, they have a preview screen where you can take a look at the email. Start at the top and actually look and see whose the email is from. Don't just assume that because it says it's from Mike Moran, it's really from Mike Moran. Take a look at that and take a moment to read it. And if it appears like you think it's junk, just delete it. Number two, people don't have solid antivirus or malware on their systems. If you got a personal computer or a personal device, many times when you bought it, you could get a year's subscription of that. Your computer's now 18 months old and that subscription ran out. Guess what? It's not protecting you anymore. It's not going to catch those things. So we always recommend that you have your workstations covered with that scenario. In fact, some credit card and some credit protection companies now provide that as part of their service. Number three, people click links all the time in emails without checking what it is. Sometimes when you click a link, you automatically download a virus or malware. Think about what you're clicking on before you click it. Number four, my favorite, lousy passwords. Mike123 is not a good password. Password123 is not a good password. Have a password that is unique and change it at least every 90 days. And remember, if you have multiple social media and work accounts, don't use the same ID and password for every account. Hint, a lot of people still do. Don't do it.
If you see me turning my head in shame, I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Joe, 13, average people today have at least 13 online accounts. I realize that it's a pain in the keister to try and figure out how to set up separate IDs and passwords for everyone, but we've got to get to that point because, man, if they can get one, they assume that you use the same, and that's how they go after the other stuff. Okay. Number five, give your children access to your systems. Children are notorious for using file sharing services and all kinds of other things where people harbor bad scenarios. I can tell you a story that a couple of years ago, one of our clients had one of their customers have their information breached, and the information was some financial information that was a mortgage application from our client. And they had to go through and spend a lot of money with forensic accountants to figure out what happened because, of course, the customer blamed them for the apparent data that appeared on the internet. Well, it turned out that they had their children had a file sharing service on the workstation, and someone got into the file sharing service, found the information, and then posted it on the internet. Our client had nothing to do with it. It was all because they were sharing. Big challenge. Number six is using your personal information, doing your banking or doing other financial services or personal information in a public place, like at a grocery store. Well, not a grocery store. Let's call it a restaurant or a coffee shop. Using a public Wi-Fi is not a very good thing to do those private things over because people can jump on the Wi-Fi and monitor what you're doing. Heck, people look over your shoulders on a regular basis when you're doing things. Number seven is oversharing on social media. I don't know. I don't have a Facebook account. I just find it funny all of the times you see these stories of people that, hey, we're posting pictures on the day, Instagram's the same way, of our trip to Mexico. People can find out who you are because you also have what city you live in, what's your birth date, other things. And today with facial recognition, you post pictures with people, those guys that are doing the specialty fishing activity, they want to do a little research. They're going to find out your company stuff and see different people. Don't put too much stuff on social media. And finally, surfing the internet indiscriminately. Go into any site, anytime, anywhere. You leave yourself open for risk of catching a nasty virus.
We're going to talk a little bit more about some protective practices and such and tools a little bit later, but while we've got just a minute here, can you use public Wi-Fi safely?
Again, it depends on what you're doing. I would not use public Wi-Fi to go ahead and do my business unless I actually had a virtual public network, a VPN, on my system and I use the VPN function to go through and do that activity. That's how I would recommend that you're going to do that. And you can do that on your smartphone or on your workstation or tablet device.
Well, you've just given me a follow-up question. What's it mean to have a VPN and how do I get one? We'll talk about that and a variety of other topics. Our guest today in the studio with us is Mike Moran, president of Affiliated Resource Group. Clearly, he is an expert in cybersecurity and best practices for businesses and individuals. We're going to be hearing a little bit more from Mike, and he mentioned earlier that his website, if you'd like to know more about maybe bringing him in to visit with your company, aresgrp. .com or .org?
.com.
.com, that's where you find Mike online. Just be careful of the password you put in when you get there. We'll be back with more Town Hall Ohio right after this.
Download, upload, it's so plain to see. Haven't got a clue what's in store for me. File transfer protocol, shop the net, have it all, and we'll be scanning for a virus here tonight.
Cybersecurity, our topic on Town Hall Ohio. Mike Moran is our guest. He's an expert in that arena. One thing I wanted to go back on in terms of things that get us in trouble online, you lose your device. You lose your smartphone, probably the most likely thing you're going to lose. I gather that means it's important to keep access to that smartphone very, very close to the vest.
At a base level, Joe, if you don't have your screen lock set up on your phone, you're being silly. You're being a discount. So as an individual, it's important to have that because obviously you have personal information, and Lord knows today many people have everything from, you know, their contacts to their personal pay stuff. But from a business, it's the same thing. You want to have that screen lock on there with a solid password. Again, not 123, to be able to protect it so that if you do lose it, well, no one then can really get access to your phone.
We're talking cybersecurity. It's an important topic here at Ohio Farm Bureau. I sat down the other day with Farm Bureau's Senior Director of Information Technology, Matthew Miller, and I wanted to get a little bit of his perspective on the topic.
So I'm guessing, Matthew, that most people who interact with Farm Bureau, they'll listen to Town Hall Ohio or read Our Ohio Magazine. They'll watch what our lobbyists are doing in D.C. or at the State House. Probably take advantage of a member benefit or two, work with their organization director. But a big part of what Farm Bureau does with, for, and on behalf of our members is manage data. Just kind of give me an overview of the kinds of data that we have and need to manage to run an organization of our type.
Well, one of the biggest things that we've obviously got to manage is who our members actually are. We need to know their names, how to contact them. We need to know information so that they can actually pay us. All of that can be sensitive, you know, particularly as we get into the payment information. So we make sure that we protect all of that information and limit what information we actually collect to make sure that there's not too much information to lose.
Communications, too. I mean, I come from the era when if I got something from Farm Bureau, it had to be mailed. And now you can email me, text me, reach me on social, blah, blah, blah. How much of what we do is communications oriented?
We do a lot of communications, and we do all of those things, email, texting, and we have to be careful how we do it because not everyone likes to be communicated the same way. So one of the things we try to do is customize the communications that we do send to people to make sure that they're getting the most pertinent information that applies to them.
So I'm one of those guys that when I need to put in a credit card number or I need to put in some other very personal piece of either identification or financial data, I'm pretty careful as to who gets that. What do we do at Ohio Farm Bureau? You started to talk about this, but what do we do to make sure that when somebody trusts us with their data, it's not going to get misused, it's not going to get hacked?
Well, it starts with making sure that the data that you send to us is secure from the point it leaves you all the way through to gets to our systems and then for whatever length of time it lives on our systems. So that starts with encryption, making sure that when you send us data, it stays in an encrypted form throughout the process. And we only keep some of that data for as long as absolutely necessary. So once it's served its purpose, we eliminate the data so that it's not there to even lose or to have it be misused.
So we're looking at, in the course of the show, a variety of ways to protect ourselves. Every now and then I'll get an email from you and it'll say, hey, watch out for this or don't do that. Just from your perspective for the average listener right now, Matthew, what would you advise them in terms of making sure that they're safe as they can be?
Keep all their systems up to date. So install every software update for anything that they have on their system. Make sure they have good, long, unique passwords. Don't reuse passwords between different services. And really just be vigilant. Pay attention to what you're doing and don't automatically trust everything. Make sure that you're thinking through and saying, you know, if I give this piece of information out, what is really behind it?
So how scary is it that you wake up probably once or twice a month and there's some new threat out there and it's kind of your job to know what's all out there? Does it keep you awake at night?
Sometimes, but not generally. As long as you pay attention and, like I said, keep things up to date, understand what software you're running, what things that you have out there, and you can limit the number of threats that you have by how you configure and what you put in place in the first place. So that helps keep it manageable.
That's Matthew Miller, who is Ohio Farm Bureau's Senior Director of Information Technology, talking a little bit about some of the things that we do here at the Ohio Farm Bureau to be, a reliable guardian of your personal information, whether it's about you, about your finances. We value your membership in Farm Bureau, and we work to take care of your data. We'll be back to talk more about cybersecurity with Mike Moran right after this.
Look at this house, Brad. Just the place for some songwriting inspiration. It could be a song about home insurance or auto insurance or a car home bundle with Nationwide. Two songs in one. What would you call that? A crossover?
I think it's more of a mashup, Peyton.
Yeah, a mashup. Genius. Let's make a mashup.
Nationwide is proud to be the exclusive insurance provider for Ohio Farm Bureau. To find a local farm agent, visit farmagentfinder.com.
Savings compared to standalone price of each policy. Product availability varies by state agent and other factors. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company, Columbus, Ohio.
To some, that sound means the day is ruined. To a farmer, it's the sound of life sustained. Every farmer understands the value of clean water. Ohio Farm Bureau understands it too. So on behalf of our members, we've invested millions of dollars through research and action to help improve clean water for all of us. To learn more on how you can join our efforts, visit farmersforwater.org today.
For farmers and small business owners looking for quality, affordable health care for themselves and employees, the Ohio Farm Bureau Health Benefits Plan may be your solution. The plan is available for employers with fewer than 100 employees and sole proprietors who have employees, are headquartered in Ohio, and operate within the farm-to-fork sector. To learn more about qualifications and plan details, visit ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org. A quality, affordable health care option. Visit ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org.
Your projects are a big deal, so use equipment that can get the job done. Cat Equipment sets the standard for the industry. The Cat product line includes more than 300 machines to handle a wide variety of duties. Ohio Farm Bureau members can save up to $5,000 when buying or leasing qualifying Cat equipment, plus a $250 credit on select work tool attachments. Learn more by visiting ofbf.org/savings and click on the Caterpillar logo. Limitations and restrictions apply.
Trouble to my left and to my right. I'll be up worrying all night. With terror in the air and in the evening news. I don't need Howlin' Wolf to give me the blues.
How safe are we when we're online, when we join a membership organization like the Ohio Farm Bureau, when we simply scroll the internet to check sports scores? Mike Moran is president of Affiliated Resource Group, where he consults businesses and others on cybersecurity. We just heard from Matthew Miller, who handles those chores here at the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation. I've heard both you and Matt say repeatedly, Mike, that we need to be well-trained. We need to operate things the way we should. We need to manage our behaviors to protect ourselves. In addition to that, is there hardware, software, tools that we can employ that, I don't know if they'll protect us from ourselves, but they'll at least throw up another layer of defense?
Sure. Let me talk kind of a couple things at a broad level, and I'll start first of all, as people are surfing the internet, one of the things that you want to do is that up there where the address of the site that you're visiting is, you want to make sure that there is https://. S stands for secure. S stands for the fact that it's demonstrating that it is a verified site, as opposed to www.chase.com is great. That's the actual bank site versus http://chase.com. And the Chase could be spelled S-H-A-S-E. That's a site that people may inadvertently go to. That would not be a good site. So always check for that HTTPS. And if it doesn't have that, be a little cautious. If you're going to do any kind of financial transaction, make sure that there's a little lock, like a little master lock key up there in that as well, because that then talks again about that. on your own make workstation, we already mentioned antivirus. That's important. Have an antivirus. You can get that from some of the credit reporting services. You can buy that yourself. You can go to your local retail store, or you can get it online, and there's that. I see ads all the time for a company that, you know, has gone to war against antiviruses.
Just real quick, so what's the antivirus doing for me?
It's actually sitting there, and it's checking for viruses. It's checking for viruses and malware, and when it finds that one has gotten to your system, it actually will quarantine it and catch it so that it can't infect and take away the usage of your system, okay? And it runs typically in the background 7 by 24 hours every day just to get that done. It does scans for those things.
Another tool.
Yeah, it's a tool. A second thing is that when you have a workstation and a Chromebook, you don't have to worry about this, but with an Apple device or Microsoft, they actually have patches or new releases of their software, their operating system that you want you updated. Do the updates. Just apply the updates. Sometimes it's a pain in the keister because you got to reboot your system, but by applying those patches, you're making sure that the system is secure. And that comes when you buy your device. It's not necessarily, you don't have to spend more money. That comes, and it comes from the vendor itself.
So when the provider sends you a note, time to update, don't ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Password policy, you'd mentioned that. But is there a tool that we can use that helps us manage passwords?
There are a variety of tools that are out there that you can use. And I think that I'm going to use the term Google it, or for my Microsoft friends, you got to Bing it, but just go and look for password protection tools, and there's a variety of them and options that are out there for you to take a look at that. I think that's something to look at in terms of where that goes.
So this is something I know nothing about, but I saw it in your notes, so I put it in mind. Dark web monitoring. What's
sure.
the dark web, okay. and how do you monitor it?
Okay. How to describe this
in a
humorous way. Well, the dark web is just a group of websites that are on the internet. And those are the sites that those folks that are interested in selling compromised credentials, selling tools to become a hacker, selling instructional videos and ways, things that how you can do bad things. Heck, you can even buy a fake ATM machine at certain places in the dark web. Now, what it is it's basically just a standard website. Think of it this way. It's like the Amazon or the eBay for the bad guys. And basically what happens is that once your credentials, once your password or your ID and your password are compromised, somebody has captured that information. Many times they package that up and sell. For example, all those people that got affected by Equifax, they got their name, they got their address, they got their Social Security number, they got their financial information. They will package each one of those records up into groups, and they will sell it online. And depending on what it is, it might go for $2 a record all the way up to $100 a record in terms of what they are. And people are out there selling it. Those folks then use it to either try and create false identities, or they try to use it to get new credit cards or a variety of other things.
We'll be back to talk more about protecting yourself in the online world. Our guest today is Mike Moran, president of Affiliated Resource Group. If you'd like to learn more about the services that his company provides, the web address is aresgrp.com, and you can go there and get more information. We'll be back to wrap up our visit with Mike when we continue on Town Hall, Ohio.
Ohio Farm Bureau is proud to announce its new partnership with the Ford Motor Company. And it's good news for Farm Bureau members. Members get $500 in bonus cash on eligible new Ford cars and trucks, or $750 in bonus cash on eligible Lincoln vehicles. Not a member? Well, join now, and in 30 days, you're eligible. For complete information on program details, visit ofbf.org.
For farmers and small business owners looking for quality, affordable health care for themselves and employees, the Ohio Farm Bureau Health Benefits Plan may be your solution. The plan is available for employers with fewer than 100 employees and sole proprietors who have employees, are headquartered in Ohio, and operate within the farm-to-fork sector. To learn more about qualifications and plan details, visit ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org. A quality, affordable health care option. Visit ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org.
We believe in food.
Grown in the fields of Ohio.
In clean air.
and water.
And in preserving farmland forever.
We believe in opportunities for the next generation.
For nearly 100 years,
Ohio Farm Bureau has been bringing people together.
Join us in the journey.
Together.
Together.
Together with farmers.
Visit togetherwithfarmers.org.
Have you heard about the Ohio Farm Bureau Energy Program? Eligible members are saving an average of 15% on their electric and natural gas bills. The program works through a network of suppliers to secure cost-saving pricing in competitive electric and natural gas regions. We've heard from members who've saved hundreds of dollars annually on their energy costs. Getting started is easy. Simply call the Energy Program customer service line, 800-830-3501, and our representative will assist you from there, 800-830-3501. You can also visit ofbf.org/savings to learn more.
At Georgia Boot, we build our boots just like the people who wear them. Tough, dependable, and hardworking. You need a boot that you can count on. That's why Georgia Boot always uses rich, full-grain leathers and comfort insoles to maximize your all-day comfort. We've been building boots that way since 1937. You pick the best tools for the job. Why would your boots be any different? Georgia Boot is America's hardest-working boot. Go to georgiaboot.com to see our latest promotions or to find a dealer near you.
Look at this house, Brad. Just the place for some songwriting inspiration. It could be a song about home insurance or auto insurance or a car home bundle with Nationwide. Two songs in one. What would you call that? A crossover?
I think it's more of a mashup, Peyton.
Yeah, a mashup. Genius. Let's make a mashup.
Nationwide is proud to be the exclusive insurance provider for Ohio Farm Bureau. To find a local farm agent, visit farmagentfinder.com.
Savings compared to standalone price of each policy. Product availability varies by state agent and other factors. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company, Columbus, Ohio.
With over 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is valued at $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standardbred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing in the Buckeye State, all supported by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Since 1953, the mission of the OHHA is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standardbred industry in Ohio and beyond. And the relationship between OHHA members and Ohio agriculture is undeniable. Farmers provide feed, bedding, and stables for the horses, and in turn, those amazingly fast four-legged athletes provide a major draw to Ohio's county fairs, bringing revenue to our rural communities. OHHA membership has its privileges. Members reap the benefits of having a strong voice for shaping statewide policies, receive continuous industry education, and valuable information in OHHA newsletters and magazines. Check out OHHA.com to find out how the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is making great strides for you. That's OHHA.com.
I need protection. Give me protection. I need protection. Give me protection.
Mike Moran's here to help us protect ourselves a bit in the online world. He's president of Affiliated Resource Group and consults on cybersecurity issues. We've talked about good operating practices. We've talked about having good equipment and systems in place, Mike. Say we do everything right and we've got all those systems in place. That doesn't assure that we're not going to be hacked in some way or other. And many times we don't even know it, right? Is there a good way to know that somebody's looking over your shoulder or has access to your information and you don't want them there?
Well, if you get ransomware or crypto locker virus, you'll know because it locks up your computer.
I said a good way.
In many cases, you don't know. I mean, sometimes if you get a virus, what ends up happening is that your performance might slow down over time and it's just kind of those, what the heck? Other times you find out when your friends call you and say, hey, I think you got hacked because I got an email from you that was pretty stupid. It really just is one of those things that there's, again, there are so many different types of, if you will, malware that are out there that can infect your system that they all potentially can act somewhat differently. So sometimes you really don't know, and other times then it's pretty obvious, like you can't get in at all.
So back to point A, have the systems in place and operate them properly. We've been talking about this largely from an individual's perspective, but cybersecurity and cybercrime impacts the world, the economy of the United States. Give us a little bit of just quick perspective on what the worries are there.
Well, you know, for example, Jamie Dimon, who's the CEO of Chase, came out and spoke, and obviously they have a huge presence here in the state of Ohio, and especially here in Central Ohio. He spoke to the fact that cybersecurity issues are going to be a leading economic issue for the world, not just the United States, but for the world. Why? Because we're going to have to protect, protect, protect. We're going to have to be constantly fighting. And it's going to be a significant investment to keep that battle up, because people realize they can be successful and they can get money from people. So they're going to keep trying to do that. Governments realize they're doing it because they can inflict bad things, but they can also then make money from this. So that's something that, I mean, even the state of Ohio is talking about putting together a cyber force, so that if there is a specific attack here in the state of Ohio and it affects the, if you will, the systems for the state that are key to what we need to do, public service, you know, state highway patrol, we might have some issues with the electric grid, some water departments, that there are people together that can come and help fix those quickly so that we don't have problems. And I just see that more and more businesses are having to spend on it. Here's another example. Back about a year and a half ago, front page of the Columbus Dispatch was an issue where a person sold their house and their realtor and their title company had been scammed via one of those phishing spoofs, and they wired the proceeds from the sale of the house to a bad guy. And the family who sold the house lost out on $220,000, and they had to sue to get the money back. So these things are there, and we've just got to work harder and harder and harder to try and protect those.
Some quick suggestions on where to go to keep up with what's going on in the world around us and learn more.
Sure. The Attorney General, if you go to the Ohio Attorney General office, they have a site for specific cybercrime and gives you ideas and things you can do to protect yourself, both as a business and an individual. The FBI has a site that talks a lot about that in terms of where they go. Individual credit providers, the folks that, you know, will do your credit monitoring for you, many of those also provide dark web scanning and opportunities to help protect your credit and personal information.
And again, you've been kind with your time, so here's a chance to pitch what you do to make a living. If who are you working with primarily, and what can you provide?
Sure. As an organization, Affiliated provides cybersecurity, compliance, and IT services and solutions to organizations that are growing and mid-market companies in basically in the state of Ohio. So when we work with organizations that are in healthcare, we work with the industrial sector, manufacturing, distribution, logistics. We help our professional services clients as well. The focus that we do there is help them get organized, help design a strategy to make sure their IT is aligned with business, and then make sure that the solution is executed and supported effectively.
Hope you're with us earlier. You heard some insights into cybersecurity measures at the Ohio Farm Bureau. I want to thank our Senior Director of Information Technology, Matthew Miller, for joining us for that. But mostly thanks, Mike Moran, President of Affiliated Resource Group. And I'd love to say we'll never have to have you back on, but probably need to come back to this subject someday again soon, Mike.
Thank you for having me, Joe. This has been a real pleasure.
Mike Moran, Affiliated Resource Group, consulting with all of us today on protecting ourselves in the online world.
Town Hall Ohio is a project of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and is brought to you with the support of Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Join us again next week for Town Hall Ohio.